Mental Health Monday
on Radio City Talk
with Mick Coyle.
Tackling the stigma.
Radio City Talk.
Mental Health Extra this week with Jake Mills in the studio. Hello there, Jake.
Hello.
Discussing this week's Mental Health Monday show, which was on air yesterday, available to download as a podcast, of course. And we had Lily Joe from the Lily Joe Project in the studio. And podcast listeners also got to hear about Dr. Giggle, which was a fantastic scheme running through the Theodora Children's Charity, basically to get trained performers into hospitals and children's wards so that children sort of get something to take their mind off some of the situations they face. We'll come on to that conversation. If you want to get involved or offer feedback to Mental Health Monday, this is the part of the show where we read it out. Simply email me, mick@radiocity.co.uk. That's mick@radiocity.co.uk. I'm going to give a couple of mentions to a couple of people who've done that in the last few days. First up, Jake, Lily Joe. She was a whirlwind.
She was, but I mean, you can see why she's a success in what she does, because I'm sure you left that conversation feeling really positive.
Yeah, I think so. So if people weren't listening or haven't checked out the show so far, Lily Joe goes into schools. She's got a resource, a brilliant website, by the way, which has got loads of different information on it. And the thing that strikes me about her is that she's not me, and she's not a teacher, and she's not, you know, a bloke in a suit, and she's not somebody who would otherwise be, you know, a teacher of home ec or graphic design being thrust into the mental health conversation. She's quite cool. She's quite trendy. She looks like she could be like a Blue Peter presenter. Yeah. And the sort of person who, like, I think young people would think, oh, I'll listen to you.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll listen to what you've got to say.
That's what I was thinking when I was listening to it. I thought, do you know what? How much more powerful and effective is this message, which is a message that we're all trying to push and that we're all trying to get across. But how much more effective is it going to be from somebody like Lily Joe who can do that in such a normal way? That's what we're talking about, is normalising mental health, particularly in schools and particularly when we're talking to young people. And for me, that's what she's there. She kind of disarms the kind of the intensity of the subject and makes it really normal, makes it quite easy to talk about, easy to listen to at the very least. And that's really important. That's really good. So I think she's great. She talked about a whirlwind herself, but she talked about a whirlpool, but she definitely was a whirlwind of positivity.
And of course, the other thing was that she was fully sort of fully trained as well. So yeah. Not only had she the ability to communicate, but also she knew what she was talking about as well. And that is, I guess, that thing that, you know, that's when you bring somebody into a school environment, that it's not just something where you're reading off the national curriculum guidelines and go, right, I'll teach that. There's an absolute understanding from her about what she's saying, why she's saying, and the impacts of having those conversations.
Exactly. And she's took her experience and what she's learned, but also kind of the things that she's picked up about. She's tailored what she's doing for a reason, for a purpose. And as you said, I think you said yesterday that I'm sure there'll be a lot of parents who are going to be directing people to the website, and hopefully so, because it is a brilliant resource for young people.
And one of the things I picked out with her from the website, LilyJoeProject.com.
You know what, Mick? You just couldn't get that right. I know. And you still haven't.
This is true, but I always correct myself. TheLilyJoeProject.com. Lily with two L's, but not two L's
it's,
in a row. Yeah. It comes up if you just type in Lily Joe Project. It comes up if you just Google search that. But there's a thing on, and I thought, you know what? That is such a simple thing, but it makes such a big difference. And I mentioned it on the program yesterday. It goes, if you are anxious, you will feel like this, maybe. And then just a list of, like, not just one, two, or three things, like 12 different things. And I thought, that's really helpful, that, because I know many people who have gone, oh, I had a terrible, you know, I had a terrible turn. I had, I feel awful. I just had a panic attack. But I'm not worried about it. I'm not stressed about anything. And if you then turn to something like that, where you can go down a list of not one, two, three, but, you know, 12 or 13 different things, that you go, oh, actually, no, that does resonate with me. Oh, that makes sense now. Now that I've read that and found out more information.
Exactly. And that's the kind of the benefit of the way that it works as well, is that it's user focused, it's people focused, it's actually using people's experiences. It's not just kind of saying, as you said, it's not just going, well, these is the top five things, you might feel this. It's actually listening to people and finding different things, different ways that people have felt, and listening to that, because I've said this before, no matter what you feel or no matter what you think, somebody else has thought it, somebody else has felt it. So it's about just kind of tapping into that and saying, look how many other people are feeling this way as well.
Yeah, absolutely. TheLilyJoeProject.com, loads of different information on there. And the sections across the top have got all the details as well. Anxiety, self-harm, eating disorders, low self-esteem, childhood trauma, grief and loss. And then there's the blog and the help section as well, which is some signposting. There's loads of stuff in there. The self-esteem thing is really interesting because, of course, Lily goes into school. She's in school today. She's been tweeting. Self-esteem is basically the way you feel about yourself. If you generally feel good about yourself, then you have high self-esteem. But if you feel bad about yourself, then you have what's called low self-esteem. You know, it's written in a simple way that we can understand. Self-esteem is like weight. It can go up and down throughout the weeks, months, and years. Sometimes you may feel like you have high self-esteem, and then something might happen, knocks or shakes you, which results in you feeling less confident. Read and watch some tips on how to learn to feel better about yourself. Then there's loads of information on there of top tips. Exercise, thinking positively, a healthy diet, online CBT. So, you know, there's a whole range of different things as well. But it's not just about what it is. It's about what you can do with it and signposting to those places.
Yeah, and again, it's about kind of making it pretty clear that, you know, self-esteem is a thing that we will always have, whether it's good or bad, low or high. It's something that will always be there. And that's kind of, again, that's a point that we're trying to get across about. Mental health is something that you will always have, whether it's good, bad, mediocre. It doesn't matter. It's always there. So it's always something to think about. Self-esteem is always something to think about. And it's kind of preparing yourself to know that, okay, yeah, it might be good now, but it might not be good another time. But here's the things that you can do to either prevent that or to help you if that happens.
Tom, thank you for your email. Thank you for your email to the station. Hi, Mick. I'd like to tell you about an arts and wellbeing activity which I run. If you have some time available for me to tell your listeners, that will be wonderful. I'll make a bit of time for you now, Tom. That's why we do this part of the show. I run creative writing workshops in Liverpool, which incorporate mindfulness. My workshops incorporate the five ways to mental well-being. They involve looking at natural forms, exploring the senses, and becoming aware of the present moment through basic meditation as a starting point for mindful writing exercises. The sessions can also involve going outside to visit a nearby park or natural setting for inspiration. If appropriate, my workshops are open to people with any or no previous experience. They're fun, collaborative exercises, as well as more reflective, individual ones. There is a non-judgmental approach when the process is as important as the result. Any sharing of work is done voluntarily, and there is no marking. Content includes introductory meditation, awareness of breath, senses and body, various writing exercises, walking in nature, and he goes on to talk about the work that he does. You can get in contact with Tom and the work that he does through his Facebook page, facebook.com, not .tom, that would have been a very personal website, facebook.com/mindfularts1. That's Mindful Arts One, and check out Tom George and the work that he's doing within the community. He's done stuff with the Liverpool Mental Health Festival, the Abergavenny Literature Festival, Beverly Lit Fest, Liverpool Imagine, Rodney Street Therapies, Toxteth Library as well, and loads of different places. Tom, thank you for getting involved. Great example of all this community stuff that's going on.
Exactly, and you know what? Writing, for me, when I was kind of struggling, or actually part of my recovery, I would say, writing really, really helped me because it was a bit of an escapism and it was you getting these feelings out and all that. So it was really good, and I'm sure that's a really good service.
What is it, do you think, on your experience from what people say to you? Is it about when people talk about natural forms, being outside, being in nature? What is it that's happening in our lives with, you know, cement and plaster walls and mobile phones? Is there something inherently damaging about that? Is it something, do you think, prehistoric built into us that actually we generally feel a bit better if we are on a beach? Or, you know, that thing you do, yeah, where you naturally, like, if you go to the seaside, even if you're not planning to go to the beach, you always just go out and have a look, don't you, to see the sea?
Yeah, I think it's a bit of freedom as well, do you know what I mean? It's a sense of freedom. It's a sense of being able to breathe, being able to have space, and also I think there's something about kind of that big massive open space that you might be looking out at over the sea or the beach or the field or whatever, that kind of makes you feel, I don't know.
But yeah, because I think, like, I've got enough breathing space now, and so have you.
Yeah,
but like, I'd rather be like on top of a mountain or something like that. Now, I don't need that much breathing space. Like, that's being greedy for breathing space. But actually, I already know now, thinking about it, like, if I go away this weekend and we go for a walk somewhere, I'll feel better when I'm outside.
Yeah, but is that because you're thinking as well? Is that part of it? Or is it the exercise? Or is it... Because I always think that, you know, if you go for a walk, go for a run or whatever, you're just sitting there and you're just thinking. I think having thinking space away from, that's what you have away from phones, that's what you'd have away from TV or away from family and friends, having that thinking space, that alone time. Sometimes even not to think, even just to think about not thinking is quite, I don't know, it's quite it's nice. It's a freedom, I think.
Yeah. And I guess because if you can find a little bit of that in everyday, because you can't, the thing is, I mean, we live in built up areas, don't we? You can't always naturally find that. But that idea of being, it's why the parks are always a good place. Like, I ever think, oh, blow away the cobwebs. I'll just go for like a 20 minute sort of like power stroll through a park. And I feel better after that.
I could just imagine you.
Well, when we did the 24-hour show, right? So I went for a walk at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon the following day.
Oh.
Once I got out of bed. And where did I go? I didn't go into town or I didn't go into a coffee shop. I went into the park because I had this thing where I just needed to be outside. Now, at no point were me and you locked in the studio.
No. Felt like it.
Yeah, it did feel like that. Maybe it did. But there was, I thought the place I need to be is where there are, you know, trees and
see,
where
I think
there is
that's
green
breathing.
Grass.
I think that's breathing. I think that's freedom and breathing and having that space to just, I don't know, just take the air into your lungs. I don't know. Is that, well, I'm asking you that actually because you've done it.
Well, I felt a lot better. In fact, I almost went, I did that thing where I looked over my shoulders and kind of went,
he's not here. And then I turned on.
It was like a relief. I was waiting for that moment of relief. Yeah, and for some reason, it didn't come in my car when I got in that. I didn't get, I got the train home. It didn't happen in the train. It didn't happen when I was in bed, finally getting the sleep that I've been after. It came when I was back outside in a completely different environment and a more natural environment.
Yeah, no, I get that. I do get that. But yeah, again, I just think it's about, I don't know, you're not contained or restricted.
That's why I think it must be something prehistoric built in. The ego, actually, that's where you would be. You would be out and about. That's how humans are evolved.
Maybe.
And then you think, well, people, houses should be better designed, shouldn't they? Bigger windows, more glass.
Bigger.
More, bigger gardens for people. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it should be.
More emails. Contentment, the Yellow House Mental Health Project. As part of our ongoing contentment program, we will, as usual, be celebrating International Yellow Day on the 30th of March. This is Vincent van Gogh's birthday, and it falls on Good Friday this year. We will be hosting Vincent's birthday party at Yellow House on Tuesday, the 3rd of April at 6 p.m. They're based on Dale Street, corner of Dale Street and Water Street. Please come along, and they've all got all of the information up on their Facebook page. Yellow, wear yellow for International Yellow Day, and be part of Vincent's birthday party as well. That's taking place this coming Tuesday, the 3rd of April. So that will be next Tuesday at 6 p.m. as well. Vincent van Gogh. Now, George McCain is brilliant when you speak to him. He goes, Van Gogh is a classic example of somebody now, if he was around now, you'd be able to pick out 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 mental health issues, as opposed to somebody go, oh, yeah, he's that one who was a bit mad and cut off his ear. And you think, well, he didn't do that as, you know, a bit of a giggle.
Yeah,
there was probably something very, very serious that was going on in clearly a brilliantly artistic mind.
Exactly. And as you said, a brilliant artistic mind who, how many other people throughout history can you say exactly the same thing about? And that's why it's, you know, it's funny actually, isn't it? Because we do embrace them as in today's society and culture. And we hero worship them in many ways. But then has it helped to normalize things and people to relate to? I don't know, maybe because we separated them from that kind of mental health or mental illness point of view. Something I was going to mention as well today as well, just because it happened yesterday, but I thought it was worth mentioning Calm's Project 84
sure
campaign, which is absolutely incredible. I don't know if you've seen or anybody.
I've seen the images from it's a building in London, right?
Yeah, it's the ITV studios, and they've got 84 mannequins basically with the hoods over to represent the 84 men who die by suicide every week. I mean, talk about powerful. it really, really is such a huge, fantastic campaign. That's going to, the idea is to make the invisible visible. And as far as kind of a symbolic kind of campaign goes, that's right up there with something that's going to stop people in their tracks.
Yeah, if people haven't seen it, it's quite, no offence ITV, but it's quite like a brutal, I don't know, like a 1960s building, but the statues are stood around the edge, as you would perceive a, you know, a man on the ledge sort of thing. But also off the back of it, the social media has reflected on people who've lost brothers, uncles, dads to it. There was one guy who was stood next to a mannequin going, this is my dad. You know, this represents, you know, a person who has been lost to me, who couldn't speak out, but if he could have done, or if I could have spoken to him, I would have said this. And I thought, wow, because when you start looking at the numbers and you start looking at the actual, you know, the figures involved in it, the actual figures of the individuals as well, it is one of those things where, and you've said this before, if it was a malaria thing, we'd be doing everything in our power to stop that number of people dying every week.
Yeah, and as I said, I think as far as campaigns go, I mean, it's going to stop everybody in the tracks, and that's exactly what needs to happen, is that people need to actually look at it and realise it. And I just think that it's a brilliant, brilliant campaign, and hopefully it's going to be a kind of... And having ITV on as well is really important, but hopefully it can be a kind of a catalyst to change, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully people like Piers Morgan will read up on what that stands for. And why it stands for it as well. Loads of different things have been coming through. Thank you to everybody who's contacted us in the last 24 hours or so. If you ever want to have your say on something you've heard in the programme, you can email me, mick@radiocity.co.uk. That's mick@radiocity.co.uk, or tweet us off the back of that as well. Just mention Matt Gordon from Team Me United is running a Me United Spring 5K or 10K in May. And if you want to, you can raise money for Me United as well at Team Me United if you want to sign up from that one through the merseyraises.co.uk website. All the information via Matt's website as well. Type in Team Me United to get all the information. And that's all part of their football therapy programme, which we've talked about on the programme too. Seems to be working, this mental health extra.
I know.
We're doing a lot of good housekeeping contained within it.
Yeah, no, it seems to be better than me just coming on going, yeah, it's good there.
if people want to have your say, or there's any sort of reaction you've got to the program, do let us know, and we'll give you a mention on the program Mental Health Extra, which will run on a Tuesday following on from Mental Health Monday. And if you obviously want to subscribe to Mental Health Monday via your local podcast provider, then you'll get Mental Health Extra as well included, and it's absolutely free.
Oh, I thought you were going to say brilliant.
Jake Mills, thank you for your time. If people want to find out more about Chasing the Stigma.
Yeah, chasingstigma.co.uk. We're on all social media. And our platform for finding help is the Hub of Hope, which is hubofhope.co.uk.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
On Radio City Talk.